Let's pray, shall we? Lord, thank you for your wonderful grace and your good love for each one of us, Lord. And we just pray you bless us as we just have a little look at your word. Jesus, you have spoken, and your words ring down through the centuries, Lord, that we can hear you speaking through them now. Lord, your Holy Spirit takes them and makes them alive in our hearts. I pray that may be our experience here this morning. Bless us and help us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Right, well, we're going to be looking, we won't read it, we'll read it as we go along. It's from Luke, it's just a few, 10 verses from Luke, chapter 12, and it deals with what I call the real big issue. I mean, I've got a man with big issue there, and the real issue is, do we follow Jesus or do we reject him? Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people at that time with his disciples, and he's laying it out in front of them. That is the real, big, important issue for every human being who's ever lived. Do we follow the Lord Jesus or do we reject him? So let's have a look at our first slide on that. Jesus says, I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. He's come to bring fire. Well, here we have a picture of an ancient method of smelting iron. The Chinese were good at that. And when Jesus says, I've come to bring fire on earth, what does he mean? Well, it seems to me that he's talking about fire can have two effects, can't it?
Yes.
It destroys what's combustible and it purifies what isn't.
Yes.
Right? So he's come to get you off the fence, as it were. Right? You're either in or you're out with him. That's the way it is. So he's come to refine us, or he's come to show us that we're rejecting him and there's judgment that follows on from that. So let's have a look at our next one, please. Right. But he says this, I've come to bring fire, but I have a baptism to undergo. And what constraint am I under until it is completed? And what was Jesus' baptism? Well, he uses the word baptism for a very special reason. Baptism is something talking about immersion. He's overwhelmed by it. And what was coming was crucifixion. The most terrible form of death that was ever invented, I guess. The Romans, well, it wasn't just the Romans, the groups of powers before them. But crucifixion, Jesus says, I've got a baptism to go. Before he could bring the fire, he couldn't get there before he had to go through the cross. And he says, I'm constrained until it's completed. Jesus felt pressure. Did you know that?
Yes, of course
he did. He was under pressure. I'm constrained. Squeezed in. There's only one road he's going to take, and that's the road to the cross. Yeah. So that's what he's going to do. Right, next please then. So, here's a picture that, quite a famous one about Jesus. Yeah.
Yes.
Prince of Peace. And he asked this question, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, yeah. I tell you, but division.
Yes.
How about that?
What he does, he
deals. He's the Prince of Peace. Well, where's all this division coming from? Yeah? Essentially, you see, what Jesus does is, when you're confronted by him, there is no alternative. It's either with or with against him.
It is.
And so Jesus is saying, I've come to bring not peace, but division. Of course, he does bring peace. When you're with him, what does he promise you?
Peace.
Blessings, his peace, right? But he's saying, you know, it's either right or it's wrong.
Yes.
There is no middle ground in this one.
No.
I know in life there are a lot of grey areas, aren't there? It's either this, a bit of that, or something else. But when he comes to Jesus, it's either is or it's not. And it's, you're with him or you're not. That's the challenge he was presenting the people. I've come to bring division. And he says, spells it out. Let's have a look at our next one. He says this. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. See, what Jesus is talking about gets right to what the deepest and most important things in people's lives. Our relationships, in our families. And it's not that Jesus comes to divide families, but if people take sides with Jesus, then those that reject him, there's an instant division. And that's the fact, I'm afraid, in the world in which we live. And Jesus says it's more important to know him in spite of what other members of your family may say or think. That's a really tough one, though, you know. And if you become a Christian in a family that is from other backgrounds or pagan backgrounds or other religions, it is really seriously tough to be a follower of Jesus. And so he's going to the heart of the issue of things. And so then I can understand, although I don't agree with it, that's why in some cultures and communities they have what we call family honour, don't they? Right? And if someone turns away from their ancestry, their background and all of that, and becomes a follower of Jesus, the family might even kill them. I mean, in Jewish societies, some of them in the Orthodox community hold ritual funerals for the one that's become a Christian. No longer part of the family, they're dead as far as they're concerned. In other parts, in the Islamic community, some of them will even kill their people who have become Christians. You know, it's that serious. It goes to the heart of things. And Jesus isn't dividing people in the sense that he wants people to be hostile and vicious, right? But he's pulling you out of the darkness into the light. And if people reject that, well, they try to destroy the light, of course. So, it comes down to this. I'd say this pride and this honour, and it happens just in lots of communities. For example, ancestral Chinese families. You know, if you become a Christian in an ancestral Chinese family, you've let the family down. You know, you've turned away from all the history and everything else, and they really see that as a very terrible, wicked thing to do. Of course, you're doing the right thing if you're turning to Jesus, but they don't understand it like that. I suspect, I really do feel at the bottom, you know, it's a pride issue, isn't it? You know, that they don't follow the ways that we followed anymore. They've rejected us, and we don't like it. It's a pride thing, I feel. And, it comes down to this. Whose opinion matters? The family background, the history, what the neighbours think, and what the locals think, or what God says?
What God says.
That's what matters. And Jesus is spelling that out to these people, he's speaking to them, and to us now, in our times in which we live. Right, next slide, please. Right. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is." They were good at forecasting the weather. And well, it's easy where they were. The problem for us in the British Isles is we're an island. We're an island and we get the weather coming from all angles, and so we get all kinds of weather. But in the Middle East, where Jesus was speaking, you have the Mediterranean in the west. When the sun, when you see clouds rising in the west, what's it bringing? Water out of the Med. And so when you see the clouds coming from the west, you know what's going to happen next? It's going to rain. Simple, eh? Or when you see the wind blowing, well, you can't see the wind, but you feel the wind blowing from the south, where's it coming from? The Arabian Desert. Jolly warm there. Right, so when you see that coming up, you think it's going to be hot. Right, so you can get the ice cream vans out and things like that. So they're really good at telling the weather, right? So that's how the weather works, right? But Jesus says, then, hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you do not interpret this present time? So why does Jesus call them hypocrites? Because it's not that they can't see what's going in front of their eyes, they can see the weather and all that, but spiritually it's obvious, but they choose not to accept it. They don't want this Jesus being who Jesus is. That's the problem. Yes? You can't make Jesus be what you want him to be. Yes? Jesus is who he is, and he's not going to change for you. But you can change for him. So he calls them hypocrites, right? He says, the spiritual weather forecast, can you read the signs? He says, "What? Can you see what's going on in front of your eyes?" And Jesus is asking them, what has Jesus done? Miracle upon miracle. He's spoken like nobody ever spoke before. He's uttered words that have got wisdom in them from start to finish. And right in front of their eyes, it's Messiah time.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. Can you read the signs? It's Messiah who's talking to you. Huh? So it's obvious. Messiah's day has come, but they don't want it. And brothers and sisters, there's the big challenge, right up to this present time. Jesus, if you read anything about him, you've seen anything about him in the Bible, and in the lives of other people that have experienced Jesus' life in them, you've got no excuse. He says, this is the reality, this is the truth, I am the Messiah. Do you choose me, or do you reject? Simple as that, there's no middle ground, right? Okay, next please then. So, why don't you judge for yourselves, Jesus says, what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way. Say so. Justice for right. Get it right. This is really important. Get it right, because your case is coming up. Did you know that? And he didn't just mean them, brothers and sisters. All of us, our case is coming up, you know. Right? And he says, get it right with your adversary. As you're going to the magistrate, try to be hard to be reconciled on the way. So, who's their adversary? It's God. Right? God's got an argument with them. Right? Do they reject his son? Do they believe him? Do they trust him or don't they? Right? And God's got a few other things on the list. What about what you did? What about what you didn't do? What about the things you said? What about the things you should have said and you didn't? All of that's on the list of accounts to be dealt with, right? And what's he got against them? All those things in their lives where they've seen the evidence and turned their backs on him. And the question is, does that apply to us? Sure does. It applies to us too. We have got to give an account to the Master, right? Okay, so he says, get it sorted out while you're on the way. Right? You're on the journey to see the magistrate. He says, get it sorted out while you're on the way. What does he mean by while you're on the way?
Before you go.
Before you go. While you've got the time. Right? You get one shot at this life, brothers and sisters. I'm sorry to tell you, you won't be recycled. Right? In India they have what they call reincarnation. It's recycling of another form, really, isn't it? Yeah? You're not being recycled. You've got one shot at this life. As we told in the letter to the Hebrews, it is given to man once to die, and after that to face the judgment. Right? So, this is it. Or, as Eamon Andrews once said with the little red book, this is your life. Right? That's it. Okay, while you've still got time. Next, please. So you go and sort it out, or the adversary may drag you off to the judge and the judge turn you over to the officer and the officer throw you into prison. Well, that sounds like it's a fixed case, isn't it? You go into the judge, you're going to have your case tried, and he tells you what the result's going to be already.
Yeah.
It's fixed.
No.
Is it?
No.
No. He knows. He knows you're not onto a winner here. You're going to lose your case. Right? He says, the verdict is clear, guilty as charged. Every one of us. Have you ever felt that?
No.
I'm not saying you feel guilty now. If you come to Jesus, your sins are forgiven. But have you ever been in that place where you realise, God, I'm guilty. I failed. I've really blown it. Yeah? Because if you haven't, I would like to suggest you're probably not a Christian yet. Because you haven't really understood why Jesus died, because you don't know that you're a sinner. And Jesus only saves sinners. I'm sorry to tell you this, but he doesn't save nice people and good people. Right? He saves sinners. And so, you're guilty as charged. And then let's decode the words that Jesus said. Watch out, or he may drag you off to the judge. So who's the judge? Well, it's God. But, I can give you a little more detail than that. Jesus, when he was speaking to the pagans in Athens, he says, right, God commands every man, everywhere, to repent. Right? And he's given proof that he's going to judge the world by the man he has appointed. That's what he says in Acts chapter 17. He's going to judge the world by the man he has appointed. Who's the man he's appointed to be your judge?
Jesus.
Right? Jesus. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Well, if he's your judge, you're going to find out he's not quite meek and mild as you thought he was. Right? So Jesus is the appointed judge. And then what about the officers? The judge will turn you over to the officer. Well, God's the one that deals with you as well. But we've got a little more detail, right? In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about the parable of the weeds, right? He says that they're growing good stuff and there's weeds there. And at harvest time, end of the world, at harvest time, what's the Lord going to do? He sends out his angels. And he gathers up all the weeds into a bundle and throws them in the fire. Right. Who's doing the gathering?
Jesus.
It's the angels. He sends out his angels to do the gathering. And then he gathers up the wheat and takes it to the barn, of course. Right, right, so that's the officers who are going to grab a hold of you and bundle you up are the angels. Right, and he's going to throw them into prison. Now, where's the prison then?
Hell.
It's got to be.
Hell.
It's hell. Yes? It's a terrible... I mean, Jesus talks about hell more than anybody else, you know. I'm not here to sort of go soft on it. Jesus says it. That's what's real. And the reason he tells you it's real is to keep you out of it. Right? He's not there to scare the daylights out of you. He's to warn you of the danger so that you'll come to him. Right, next then, please. I tell you, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. Right? Jesus says, I tell you. And when Jesus says, I tell you, you better listen. He's saying, what does he mean when he says, I tell you? He says, I'm speaking with authority here. I know what I'm talking about. Right? He knows. I tell you. He says this. He himself, we've got that to later on, I tell you. He knows, and later on I'll share with you, he's the one who's going to sort it out. But he says, you won't get out until you've paid the last penny. Until? That sounds like there's a possibility you might get out. Is that right?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Right, and of course in Roman Catholic teaching they have what they call purgatory. Yes? If you've been really bad, you could spend a few thousand years in purgatory, but eventually you get out. You know, if you've been really nice, you get to heaven before you get to purgatory. Brothers and sisters, I've got to tell you, we'll see later on in Luke, there is no such place as purgatory. It's a human invention, right? So when Jesus says you won't get out until you pay the last penny, what he's really saying is, you won't be getting out, because you can't pay. I mean, if you go in with a debt, how are you going to work it off? You won't. Right, so, impossible. They have no credit, and neither do we. Right? So if you think you're going to sort of pay off your little sins, don't fool yourself. Right? You won't be getting out. Next slide, please. Right. So he says, the fire is kindled. It is kindled now, isn't it? It wasn't when Jesus was speaking then, but it is now. He's died, he's risen, he's sent the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's creating fire in people. Right? But God's also acting as a judge. Even now in our world. And the big issue still stands, are you for him or against him? Get it sorted with the magistrate, our Lord Jesus, the Saviour, before you face the judge, Jesus. Isn't that good, eh?
It is.
You get it sorted with him before he becomes a judge. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's right. Praise the Lord. So how? How do you get sorted with Jesus? Repent.
Yeah.
Admit you're sorry. Admit you're guilty. Admit you failed. Right? There's no big deal in that, your friend. You realise that, yeah? Because it's true. Yeah? We've all failed. Right? There aren't any perfect people around. Yet. So, admit it. We repent. And believe the good news. What's the good news? What's the good news? We say, John the Baptist and then Jesus came and said, repent and believe the good news. Well, what's the good news? Everlasting life? Yeah, that's good, yeah, but you get everlasting life when you believe the good news.
Jesus paid for death.
Jesus has paid the price for your sins, and he offers you freely. I mean, he could have charged you, couldn't he? Right? But Jesus offers you freely, if you trust in him, forgiveness. That's where it comes. Forgiveness, if you trust in Jesus and what he's done, that's how you get eternal life. That's good, eh? And I think God is wonderful in this. You know, you don't have to be smart to trust Jesus. You don't have to have a degree to trust Jesus. You don't have to be perfect or old or wise to trust Jesus. Just trust him. Available for all. Isn't that lovely verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever... Whoever includes the fat ones, the thin ones, the short ones, the tall ones, the brown ones, the green ones, you name it. Are there any green ones, by the way? I've been green all my life, honestly, I tell you. Maybe not the colour, but green is definitely the colour for me, yeah? Right? Okay, or whoever believes is available for us all. Next then, please. Right, it's the last one. Well, Jesus says you won't get out until you've paid the last penny. Well, if you believe in Jesus, you're not going to be paying it all, are you? But Jesus must have had to pay the last penny,
yes,
in order to get you off.
Yes, he did.
Jesus paid the last penny. He paid the full price. Now, amazing, this we can't understand. I've written that, the lovely verse in there. We may not know, we cannot tell what pain he had been to bear. But we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. Now, I just want to give you perhaps a slight idea of what was going on at that cross. Now then, let's go back to where he says, you won't get out until you've paid the last penny. How long is that for? That's forever. Yeah? That's forever. Because you'll never pay it off. And Jesus, in those 3 hours that he was hanging on the cross, paid for an eternity of your sin and its consequences. In 3 hours, Jesus squashed time, concentrate. You know how pressure is when you start squeezing things? Well, just imagine, all of time squeezed down to 3 hours, and it's on Jesus. We may not know, we cannot tell what pain he had to bear. And it wasn't just the physical pain. I said crucifixion was probably one of the worst forms of death that was ever invented. Right? Aren't human beings wonderful at creating horrible stuff? Well, Jesus took the worst and bore it himself. But that was just part of his suffering. What was the hardest, I suspect, was separation, bearing sin. I mean, Jesus, who never had any sin in his life at all, getting all dumped on him. Fancy that. What a contradiction in what reality was. The perfect person taking the most horrible sins. Jesus gets that dumped on him. And then, to add to that, Father turns his back, because God cannot look on sin. Turns his back on Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? The answer is, because your sin is on him. That's why. We may not know, we cannot tell. I just give you little outlines. What Jesus went through for you and for me. He paid the last penny. And then he says, I'm just bringing back to the weather forecast. You know whether it's going to rain or it's going to be sunshine and hot weather. He says, well, if we've got Jesus and he's paid the last penny for you, you can choose. Do you get the refreshing rain of his life, his love? I've come that you may have life and life in all its fullness or in abundance. Right. Okay. Now, you might not seem to have too much of it at the moment, but believe me, just hang on in. You're going to find out what real life with Jesus is one of these days. Although it starts now, of course. Right. Or you can have the desert wind. The heat. It's your choice. Right. So, that wasn't just for them. And just to offer you the tragic thing about it was, yeah, for those that rejected Jesus, within 30 years, 40 years, from where Jesus was speaking, Jerusalem was destroyed, thousands were crucified, and everybody was scattered.
Wow.
That's how serious it was. And so, that's for them who aren't Christians, of course, aren't believers. But what about us? You're not going to be locked up forever because you failed, are you?
No.
No, is the answer. Praise the Lord. But I would like to suggest, Jesus says, get it sorted out with the magistrate before he has to deal with you. Because Jesus will deal with you, I can assure you that. He won't be throwing you into prison, but he may have a... God has a way of dealing with his kids, you know. Right? But, let me say this, get it right with the Lord, whatever it is. There are things in your life, things in all of our lives. Maybe you've got those no-go areas, you know. Nobody's allowed in that one, are they? Right? Well, God wants to get in on these things. Touch our lives from his grace. Right? There may be things you need to sort out with brothers and sisters. Get them sorted out. Right? Just because you're forgiven doesn't mean to say that you just carry on your old sweet ways. Right? The Lord wants you to live for him. There's a lovely verse, one of my favourites, and it's Peter's in his letter. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't say just grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. You know lots and lots. You can quote many of the Bible verses ad infinitum, right? Knowledge, if it's not accompanied with the grace, won't be any good. Put the two together. You're up to it. So I trust that you've made the right choice, have you?
Yes.
You're following Jesus, right? So thank God you won't be going to the jailer, right? But, brothers and sisters, let's just make sure we're on Jesus' side, listening, following and obeying him. Because that's what life's for.
It is.
To please him, to glorify him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that Jesus made it so plain, Lord, that we could understand. Lord, thank you we can see the weather and sort of figure out what's happening. Help us, Lord. Give us spiritual discernment to reckon and understand the times in which we live. the things that are important in our lives and the people that we meet, Lord. Help us to discern these things by your Spirit. And Jesus, help us to hold on to you, trusting you, being faithful to you all our days. Thank you, Lord, that there is forgiveness, that there is, as your word tells us, now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus, because Jesus has paid the price. We give you thanks, Father, in Jesus' name.